alarm on this one last. With all the stuttering and thinking and scared keeps shrinking. Tell me alarm on this one last. Temporary theme song. Just got to wait till Bill comes on. Cause his song's tragic and he'll make the magic. Just gotta wait till Bill comes on.
Buy our shirts and stuff here, boy. For $20, all the funds go to Qatar. Cause his internet really sucks. Gotta go to the iTunes, yeah. Please review our show. But if you don't do it and you know that it's true, we won't wanna do it all more. Oh,
temporary song. This week we all do not be wrong. We occasionally slip up back, so this week we all do not be wrong. Then gave a podcast, dumb me alarm on this one last. This song's terrible, who said it was this? Tell me alarm on this song last. This sucks, blame it on Techomania.
What the hell was that?
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. Every week we call out to the Fangamer community on the forums at fangamer.com to discuss gaming, things about it that we love, general things that make us happy and proud to be giant geeks, which I don't know if we have much justification for being proud of. But
that's the antithesis of last week's topic, that's for sure, Ben.
Yeah. Anyway, this is podcast number 47, and the subject is what you are thankful for in gaming. Obviously, inspired, I don't know if that's the right word, by the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday.
Lazily inspired would be the correct
lazily
term.
Lazily inspired. Yeah, a little
Whoa,
shoehorned.
I came up with this topic.
Did you? I thought this was mine.
Oh, this sucks.
You're fired.
Ben.
You are the worst.
Anyway, as we hear berating me here. Oh, that was Liz Bose. Say what's up.
Dialga, do you want to say hi?
Did we talk about the Dialga plushie thing on the podcast ever? I know I told you guys.
I'm sure.
I think we had an outtake.
Okay.
And that guy who just talked is Garrett Rosa. What's up?
I'm the one who acquires the Pokemon plushies. Actually, you guys, another one of those vending machines opened up in a mall here in Seattle. So there's two of them now.
Why Seattle? Is it because it's close to Japan and they can just throw them across the sea?
Yes. Might have something to do with
it. They just wash up on the beach.
The company that does it, I looked them up. It's like the Pokemon Company or the Pokemon whatever. They are based out of Bellevue. I don't know.
And that's also where like Nintendo of America is and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, really. That makes sense.
Yeah. So.
So you should go get. I picture them being in like the same vending machine as the freeze dried packets of what is the ice cream of the future?
Neapolitan.
Dippin' Dots.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow.
That was their slogan before the future came and went.
You know, if someone would have told me that there are Dippin' Dots vending machines out there, I would have never believed it, but I've seen one. And I don't understand why they exist.
I've bought Dippin' Dots from a Dippin' Dots vending machine. It's like a huge vacuum tube, like, you know that thing's Doc Ock had on his back in Spider-Man 2? Like, basically, a bunch of those come shooting out, and they kind of stare at you and do the clicking thing before they dive down and grab the Dippin' Dots and, like, spit them in your face.
Like, do you have to eat them as they fly at you? Is that what the deal is here?
No, they come in a pouch not dissimilar from Capri Sun, and you have to poke your way through, and they're all freeze-dried in there. It's really the worst possible combination of things.
I would just assume, like, they pop out of a little hole into a bowl or something, and you're good to go, but...
Oh, no. It has to be in, like, a Tang pouch. Otherwise, how would it be of the future?
That's true. How would it? Anyway, the Fangamer Podcast, we don't tend to talk about...
We don't digress from the topic, that's for sure. Don't leave us a review about that.
But I digress. What have you guys been up to?
I've been playing the finals week game, so... Today is actually... Tomorrow morning is my last class when finals week actually started today, but my professor was like, I decided we're going to have class tomorrow too. And he emailed us and was like, apparently there's a final going on in our classroom, so we're going to move it and have class in a different room. But see you guys tomorrow.
And then begins the winter of Liz after that, right?
Oh yeah, the winter of Liz.
Do you have plans? Are you doing anything fun with the family for the holidays or for Thanksgiving?
I'm thinking of going to see my Fangamer family in Tucson.
Gem Show?
No, Tucson, Reed, and Camille, and John, and the company that we work for. Come on.
Just hanging out.
Hello, McFly.
Man,
yeah.
I want to go.
Why not?
I think I'm planning to go out there.
I don't want to say, hey, Reed, I'm coming to your house.
That's what I did. I was like, hey, Reed, I'll pay for my flight. Can I sleep in the office? And he's like, we'll talk.
Fair enough.
I told them I'd wash my body in the radiator sink at the
Wait,
store
you don't need
next
to take
door.
Showers when you're down there. It's fine.
No, no one else does.
Nope. That's for sure.
Smells like an anime convention down there. All I need is just me and the body pillow.
I got plenty of those for you. I bought some just for you, Liz.
Thanks. Yep. Did you buy me the pillowcases that apparently change with heat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't like, skimp out. I couldn't
cheap
out on you.
No, don't be cheap. God.
No. That's going to be your Christmas present. You just spoiled it.
In all seriousness, I'm actually going to Vermont next Wednesday to see my family until maybe Sunday.
Yeah, I guess that's what we also could talk about. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Ooh. Eating gluten-free stuffing and gluten-free pie.
All right, so Garrett.
I have an important announcement not related to my plans for Thanksgiving, because this will be boring. I saw the Scott Pilgrim movie finally.
Oh, man.
I just watched that last night.
It's so good.
Yeah, forget Thanksgiving. Let's talk about that.
It is so good.
I'm thankful for Scott Pilgrim.
No, but seriously, like, it is so good. Like, I'm surprised they did such a good job of taking that and translating it to a movie. As it's such a good comic, manga, whatever you want to call it. They do it so well. And all the little subtle jokes and hinty things, like when they show Wallace's room and like all this different stuff and how they really do a good job with that, and they stay to the source material so close. Like, if you actually have the first comic and you can almost do most
you can
of
read
it,
along
yeah read along with it, which I was really impressed. Also,
I mean, the only thing that was really different was the ending, but that's because those books weren't out yet.
Well, they definitely accelerate through it. I mean, they definitely, the last four books really remove a lot out of those, but they still do a really good job, I think, despite that. They're very true to the first one. But I was going to say that the music, actually, the Sex Ba-Bomb is so good.
Yeah. Isn't that Beck?
Yeah, you know, Beck wrote Beck? All those songs. Yep.
Oh, it's so awesome. Like, I love those. The three songs they play, I bought those the other day. I was listening to them. Like,
the whole soundtrack's
And they got
really
somebody,
good.
They got some other well-known person to write, I think, Envy's stuff.
It was, what was the name of the band? Like, Metric or something? I don't know if that's a real band. I might have just made that up.
Well, it's good.
You did.
It's good music. And it's really nice to see something do so well. A good comic, good video game, good movie, good soundtracks for everything. It's just nice that it's one of those things that's the opposite of something you should be embarrassed of in game culture. It's something you can be really proud of. It's not a sellout at all.
Yeah. So, Liz, I remember you spitting some beef about Scott Pilgrim a while ago.
I still have no interest in reading the comic.
Not on that. Sure. But remember, your original comment was that Ramona is very
bland.
And she is way more than she is in the
comic. Even
more
bland in the movie.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I didn't think that would be that possible to really remove more of her character. But you're right. It really does have that disconnect of why would he want to date her? And they do a much better job, obviously, in the comic of getting that across. But in the movie, that is like the only critique I have is that she really is a boring character.
Yeah, it seems like she showed up in his dream and it was like, wow, her hair is purple. That's a good enough reason to
that is
beat
like
up
the only,
seven dudes,
yeah,
six dudes and a girl.
So, yes, I saw Scott Pilgrim movie. I also have been watching The Walking Dead, or as I like to call
it. Oh, my God, me too.
Left 4 Dead, the TV show.
It's so good.
And I'm going to say probably the opposite of what you guys think. I think the show, pretty good. I have been reading the graphic novel, actually, because I was down in Portland, and I discovered Things from Another World, the comic book shop. I found where they were and bought the entire compendium of all of that series. It's like $60.
It's not done yet, though, just
and
so
it's,
you know.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's like, I don't know, several hundreds of pages I'm through. It's been taking me a while to get through it. And if anything, it makes me kind of wonder where they're going with this series, because they do such a good job with it. I think they do a really good job with it, but I don't know. Like, this series, like, from what I can tell, it's about accurately portraying what would happen in a zombie apocalypse, which up until now I never thought about, but any sort of zombie thing that the mass culture likes always stops before they'd ever get anything that's really depressing. Like, what's that movie with Will Smith?
I Am Legend?
Yes. So, Why I Am Legend?
Well, that was vampires, but whatever.
Right, but he ends up, they find, like, a cure right before it. And, you know, 28 days later and...
No spoilers,
Zombie...
Though.
What's the one with the... Oh, I just forgot it. Zombieland. They always take a take on it that... They either stop, they find some way to cure it before, and that's where the movie ends, or whatever the big hill was they had to get past, the big difficulty, they get past that and they survive, and then they end the movie. The comic goes beyond that to, like, years after there's still zombies, the government has fallen apart, mankind is turning on itself at this point, everyone's dying left and right. It is some of the most depressing I have ever read. And it really makes me not like zombie anything anymore. Like, that is how powerful the narrative is in this graphic novel. Like, I'm like, wow, I've never thought about it this way, and that is so depressing.
Yeah. It's a really powerful story.
It is.
It's so good.
It's well done. I will not, but it's, we're Mad Men. I can watch it and, you know, take it in and enjoy it for what it is. I don't know that if Walking Dead continues along the same path that the graphic novel does, that I could actually stay with it, but I kind of
how are you not depressed by Mad Men?
I don't know, because I guess because it's something that's already happened, whereas the zombie apocalypse thing is like one of those things where they're like, this is what would happen, and that's where it's kind of the potential, and that depresses me a lot more. So, but yeah, Walking Dead. So Ben, you've been watching it. Like, Liz, have you seen it?
I was reading about it recently because Brian tried to get me into it. I draw a hard line on zombie stuff where I just will not engage with it at all.
The first episode was a bit dull, actually, I thought. Like, it took a bit.
The pilots are weird.
It is.
Like, it was dull, but I felt like it served a purpose enough.
Yes.
Like,
no, it's
the guy's
AMC.
Just, like, walking around taking in everything that's happening. It's like,
It's how AMC does their stuff. They do a really good job. They don't worry about buying everyone in that first time, you know, like, oh, we've got to make sure that we're going to get picked up for the next episode. You know, they're not worried about that. They're telling the story the way it should be told, but...
Well, they're not worried about it now that they've had Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Yeah.
They might have been worried a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so...
When they were nobody.
That, and then the last one is one, because I know... Oh, yes, we all have working iPhones now. High five, Ben.
Woo!
Is an awesome game I have been playing nonstop on my iPhone for the last 24 hours. It's called Game Dev Story. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
I have not.
So I saw it on 1UP did their like holiday buyer's guide, and they linked us on it, which was totally awesome of them. They linked Reformat the Planet in Camille's Avarice figures. And I looked at some of the other things they had in their product guide, and one of them was iPhone games, and they recommended this game called Game Dev Story, saying everyone who plays this loves it, everyone's always talking about how much fun they're having with it. I'm like, really? For like a casual iPhone game? I picked it up last night about like 9:30 p.m. and I didn't go to bed till like 2 a.m. I stayed up, and Jen kept waking up and like, are you gonna go to sleep? I'm like, yeah, I'm about ready to go to sleep, I'm finishing this last game, almost, just a sec. It is so much fun, and I want to be able to describe it in a way that's not going to turn people off from it, because I just don't have enough other games to compare it to, because I don't play a lot of like cell phone games, but it has the addictive quality of like a Diner Dash, but not the stupidity, I would say, of Diner Dash, where there's nothing to it. There's a lot of complexity to it, but it's still very approachable. It amps you up very slowly, but you run a game studio, you hire people, you make games, you increase different aspects of the game's quality. You can do advertising. You can get written up in magazines, and it sounds very daunting when you say all the different things that can happen, because it's like, that sounds too complex. But it does it in a really good way. It has cute little graphics, and it's really good. And I would be really surprised. I think Ben, you'd love the crap out of it. Liz, I always am a real hit or miss with guessing things that you will or won't like. So.
I try and keep an aura of mystery around me.
But there's a free version of it that you can download, and I think the full version is like $4. But I have been playing it nonstop, and it's been great. In fact, that's what I was playing earlier while you guys were talking. So,
yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Good times.
Honesty is appreciated.
So, what's it called again? It's a
Game Dev Story.
Game Dev Story. All right. Yeah, I'll check that out. But you both have iPads, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever gotten into, like, the music rhythm genre of games?
I played Tap Tap Revolution.
Is that what you're thinking of? Tap Tap?
Games like that, yes.
I mean, we've played those. I used to... One of my favorite games on PlayStation 2 was the original Harmonix games, Frequency and Amplitude. I love those games.
Okay.
Amplitude.
All right, well, no, I just wanted to talk about a new game that came out for iPad by Bimani, which is Konami's... branch that makes most of their music games, like Dance Dance Revolution and like, Guitar Freaks and all that stuff. They just released an iPad port of their game U-Beat. It's spelled J-U-B-E-A-T. I don't want to say... It's pronounced U-Beat. And it's a game where you have like 16 panels. And have you ever played Elite Beat Agents?
Yes.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's fun it's and frustrating all at something similar to once. That.
Yeah, where... like, there's, like, this explosion in one of the... Not an explosion, but just some animation in one of the boxes. And there's a song playing in the background. And you have to, like, tap the keys, like, in time with the song. And it's apparently really, really good. And I really want to play it. So I think you should buy it. And then I can come to your house and steal your iPad and play it.
I have an iPad game I wanted to talk about, actually.
Go for it.
Or an iPhone. That hasn't come out yet. And I just realized it. Do you guys remember over the summer when Square announced that they were going to do, like, Final Fantasy Tactics for the iPhone?
What? No.
I do remember that.
That was supposed to launch September 16th, and then, like, some intrepid blogger was like, where's the game? And Square was like, we don't have to tell you anything, buddy. Screw off.
Take that.
Yeah. And, like, the worst response ever. And so 2 months later, Final Fantasy Tactics is like, whenever, we'll get to it. So I was excited about it, forgot about it, and then got excited all over again because I was like, oh, it must be out by now. And then once again, Square crapped all over my dreams, but...
Well, I don't know. Did you play the last Final Fantasy Tactics A2 or whatever the sequel was? And
I couldn't get into didn't we talk about that recently?
Might
where
have.
I thought Marsh was like a dick.
Well, not just that. Like, the whole judge system made it unfun.
The judge system sucked
and
too.
Then, I don't know, they just lost what made
it
super fun. Well, yeah, but... Yeah. They're trying to appeal to more people, and it's like, no, don't appeal to more people. Make it so I can play multiplayer and fight people. And then they kind of did that, but you can only bring over, like, two of your party or three. It's like, no, I want five-on-five battles against other people. I think we've talked about this before, actually. Now,
we have.
I feel like we already talked about that. But
all I know is right now I'm really enjoying the schadenfreude of watching Square struggling with how terrible Final Fantasy XIV has been for them.
Has it, wait.
Have they really, like, have... Is
that
there
the one
to,
in
like,
Dev?
See the reactions or anything?
Wait,
no,
is that,
it's
that the one, the
it's
PlayStation
the new online
3
one? That's really bad.
Yeah, it's,
oh,
yeah, it's the
that
new
came
online
out?
One. The sequel to 11. Oh, yeah, that came out.
To be honest,
it's
though.
It's been a disaster.
11 wasn't that good either, though. I don't know who we're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Here. So, like, a sequel to a disaster is still a disaster, right?
You're going
to
get some hate for that, just for the record. I know
well,
some
okay,
people are
I mean,
passionate
I know
about
it has a passionate fan base, but I tried that game. It is complex and ugly, and it was one of the first games you could play PlayStation 2 online with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, that was... Did anyone play their PlayStation 2 online?
World of Warcraft, is that pretty? Actually, my dad did. He played Final Fantasy XI on his PlayStation 2.
What? World of Warcraft's not specifically pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. I can show you some stuff that they've done a lot to make that game very, very attractive.
Do they, like, update the graphics
play, like,
and
undead.
Stuff?
No, they just do smarter ways of doing it. I don't know how to say it better than that, but they use the same power to do something... Just
as they've introduced more races and more areas, the newer models have improved, and now that they're totally blowing up the overworld and changing it for Cataclysm, I think the graphics are going to be slightly better for everything.
I've never
except
really found
like
them
the
that
old
bad,
models
though.
For the original races.
I've really never Walker? Found them that bad, to be honest. Like no. They do a good job with designing things to look good.
They do. They have a good art team.
Yeah. So
but then again, Final Fantasy XIV is a gorgeous-looking game, and that is not saving them at all.
So wait, what are some of the criticisms, then, of the new game? Is it just bugs?
I heard the UI is, like, ridiculously complicated for no
well,
real
that
reason.
That sounds like the old one.
The UI is horrendous. I think there's, like, just no real content late game or anything. It's generally unfun to play. There's certain things they do... I can go on for a while.
Well, so. I was going to say, it never really stopped anyone from playing the other one. These sound like very similar problems that are now coming to light again.
But that's the thing, is that now World of Warcraft has so many people.
Oh, now there's a higher expectation.
There's a higher expectation, and it's like Square actively has gone backward to, like, not improve anything they were okay on and to do worse on things they were poor on.
It's a very EverQuest feeling, like, that they are still trying to make a game for the same, whatever their player base is. They're just trying to cater to those people, and then because everyone else is expecting them to try and cater to everyone with its Final Fantasy, and they don't, that's what happens. It's probably exactly what they want it to be.
Is, I don't know. I mean, they're still making money because Final Fantasy 13's been selling very well. Matt related to me a story.
Did you ever beat that?
PR problem. Yeah, it was okay. I wish the end game had more content.
I sold that right back to Pink Gorilla. I did not even get more than 3 or 4 hours. Or no, I take it back. I played like 8 hours and like, I don't know what's happening. This is terrible. And quit.
Honestly, I would have thought the game was really a lot worse than it was, except I found the fact that Lightning, Vanille, and Fang had like no interest or relationships with any of the men oddly compelling, and that
girl
was
power.
Enough to kind of like Woo. In a weird, not even girl power, because that was what 10-2 was all about, and that was all about like bringing back your dead boyfriend
power.
And falling in love with treasure hunters. But this, it was like guys didn't even show up. It was weird, and I kind of thought that was cool in a way you don't really ever see. And that's not really enough to make a game good, but I thought it was noteworthy.
Fair enough.
So, think
go.
On it.
That's good.
And I love the combat system. I know a lot of people didn't, but I really thought, like, when you're playing at the end game and Lightning shooting bullets everywhere and doing backflips,
it takes,
it's kind of a
like,
hell yeah moment.
40 hours to get there.
Yeah, I know.
It's
not good game design at all. The game had a lot of problems, and overall,
it was beautiful. I keep saying, if I was in the mood to play a movie, then I would have continued, but no, not anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's many of the criticisms of Final Fantasy XIV.
Really?
Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But at least Metal Gear has some redeeming factors
to it,
in my opinion. It's a way...
Not only are you playing a movie, you're playing the best movie.
That's true.
You're playing the best Bond movie with the best actor.
That's true.
And you can stop the movie and call different characters in it, and they'll say crazy to you.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a movie.
That's true.
Ben.
That's true. No, okay, I take it back.
And you can't have a character in the movie turn to you and be like, I see that the last movie you saw was Trading Places. I loved that movie.
Oh,
Dan Aykroyd sure has gotten fat.
I see you were watching Marley and Me. Oh, that's a downer, right? I know, man. I love dogs, too.
All right,
stupid voice. I don't even do a good job at it, and it just tears my throat up.
All right,
anyway,
that's pretty good for
all of
us.
Yeah,
can
we wrap up on what we've been doing here? Can we move on to...
I had one
Fame
more.
Gamer, well, quote I'm unquote. Okay, yeah, go for it.
No,
no,
I
go.
Do, but
go.
I
go.
Believe
no,
it.
No, you said
no.
It. The car's already turned around, Garrett.
All right. Hopefully we can edit this out.
Boy, that was a fun segment. Let's pause here and take a break for Charlie's audio candy, and then we'll move into...
something else.
Fangamer News, a.k.a. what we're doing with Fangamer News.
Mm-hmm.
Hey everybody, this is Charlie with Audio Candy. I am thankful that the fan music scene is still alive, active, and talented. And I'm also thankful that not all fan music stems from games that are over a decade old. Minecraft is an addicting and fun game that's spread by word of mouth for about a year and a half now. If you haven't looked into it yet, look into it. Today I present Victor Cepeda's Minecraft song. It's a catchy song, and don't be too surprised if you find yourself humming or singing along.
Every day. Hey, hey, yeah. the cows and pigs, they push me cause they wanna. Sooner or later, spiders come my way. Never find that diamond anyway. So my tools keep on breaking away. I got Minecraft logging every day.
Victor is a talented musician. You can find this track and more at his website, victorsepeda.com.
Buckle up. We're going for a ride on the Big Bad Wolf. Let's do
this. Oh, man. Oh, God. I can't believe you just said that. I missed that ride so much.
Alpengeist.
Alpengeist. All right.
I don't remember what the fourth one was.
Loch Ness Monster?
Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to Fangamer News, or what would be Fangamer News if we didn't decide to switch things around a little bit on you.
Flip mode.
Given last week and how we decided, yeah, flip mode is the greatest.
Flip mode is the greatest.
Matt's saying flip mode in the background. That's how we came together, is via Busta.
Wait,
little known
really?
Fact. Sort of. We had a long conversation one day when we first started dating about how my mom always said, if you can't be part of the greatest, you gotta be the greatest yourself. Flip mode. Now you have to edit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In. Give me some more, Ben.
I love that song so much. Anyway, you digress. Right,
yeah. But we digress about Busta. If you're gonna digress,
if you're gonna
make it
digress,
the best.
Make it about Busta.
So we're doing Fangamer News a little differently this week. In past weeks, Garrett, Ben, and myself, or sometimes just Garrett and myself, have tried to represent products to the best of our ability when new releases approach, or when pre-orders or reprints come up. But we feel we have not been able to do justice to the products in the way that Reed and John can, because they're kind of the driving creative force behind the company. So we've decided what we're going to do is pre-record a segment every week where one of us will interview Reed and John in a segment that we don't have a clever enough title for yet, but I've been codenaming What's Going On with John. And I pitched this name to John and he was like, yeah. So I don't think it'll be What's Going On with John. But
Last time I checked, we run the podcast, so
it's true.
Shouldn't it just be called Fangamer News?
No.
Yeah, it's
AKA What's Going On with John, yo?
With the yo, maybe that's what it needed.
It's like Fangamer News, only it's kind of like we're cutting to the weatherman for Fangamer News.
Let's go to John with Fangamer News.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna let us know what local quarterbacks are doing in sports. Or
John's
something.
Really good at that. Have you guys seen where he talks about his sketchbook on YouTube?
Yeah.
He is
really good.
Yeah. This is what we're going.
That
for,
is, we're pulling. We're ringers, pinch hitters. That's what we're doing.
We are pulling in ringers. And I talked to John about it, and he says not only does he want it to be like new products and stuff just for launches, but we can talk a little bit about what's going on in the office.
Yeah.
Give people a glimpse of what's going
on.
Man,
things that we promised to talk about. All the
but
time.
I have no authority to speak to. Yeah,
yeah. It's like none of us are in
Chicago,
the office, so how can we
Seattle
talk about
and
that?
Virginia. We're as far away from Tucson as three people can possibly be, really.
It's true. It's like we make a big plus sign right now. Well, maybe a multiplication sign.
Yeah. But we are trying to rectify past grievances that many of you have had about getting better exposure to Fangamer. And so, without further ado, we're going to cut out here and segue into what might be going on with John.
Kick it.
Welcome to this week's edition of Fangamer News. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're doing things differently, i.e. better, by incorporating Reed, John, and sometimes Steve into our Fangamer News segment to give you the most up-to-date and coherent information possible. So, Reed, John, and Steve, what is new at the Fangamer office?
Well, the office has been insanely busy. I don't think I've ever spent so much time on the phone in any given workday as I have recently. It's been pretty much a million miles an hour just trying to get ready for the Christmas rush.
Okay. That's going... Is it going well, or is it, like, just crazy, can't keep up?
We're actually, I think we're on top of it. I think we're doing a pretty good job. I think next week is when we'll realize, wow, we can't keep up with this.
It's fun when you go between packing things and putting things together, answering customer emails, shipping out orders, ordering new products. Mm-hmm. It's a big balancing game that we've been having to keep on top of.
Getting a bunch of orders out and getting everything ordered, and it's just a lot of little stuff going on all over the place.
I like to think that you guys gauge how well you're on top of things by how many Kit Kats are left in the mini fridge. Like, if you've got things on the ball, that thing is stocked. You have IBC flowing out the door.
Actually, I bought one of those bags full of assorted candy, and it was gone in 24 hours.
That's not good.
I know.
I think I know who's to blame for most of this.
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan. Not
to defend himself.
Better Ryan than Ruby.
Yeah, that's true.
So, John, how are things going on at Fangamer's Atlanta branch?
Quiet. Luckily, we had kind of streamlined everything that we do on a per-day basis, so we're definitely have, like, stronger correspondence and stronger just getting things taken care of. So it's definitely improved over this past month. And with all the number of projects we have, it's been pretty awesome. You know, we're just getting things done one after the other, helping each other out, so...
Yeah, I hear you guys have been hard at work designing stuff. I hear this as if I don't work for the company, as if I'm like Conan O'Brien or some sort of TMZ press correspondent. It appears that we've got a couple new shirts coming up on the horizon. Do one of you guys want to kick off the introduction for those?
Yeah, actually, I saw a shirt that was designed by Jonah Block, who actually is a friend of one of our artists, Marty. Who's also known as Omnitarian. And they had worked together on a couple shirts, and I saw that he had Jonah had this one shirt, and I thought it had a lot of potential and kind of where Fangamer is going and expanding. So I talked to him, and we were able to buy the design from him, and we did some adjustments on our own end with checking with Jonah, and we're going to release that. It is a visor shirt. It is a Metroid-inspired visor shirt, and it should be out for the holiday season.
So this is our first Metroid thing, right? Like, people have been bugging us forever to get into Metroid.
Oh yeah, we've been, our fans, our fellow artists, internally and personally, I have wanted to get into this realm for quite a long time.
So you're definitely stoked, like, if this takes off, you're willing to do way more Metroid-inspired stuff?
Yeah, we actually already have some more designs slated on the table for when the time comes, and when the time's available. Yeah. To get these designs to go along with this one, too.
Awesome. We have another shirt we're working on, actually, with... Is it with Attract Mode, or...?
Yes, Free? We can. Yeah, yeah.
I could have cut that if we couldn't. No, man, this all happens in post. It's like...
Oh, got it. Okay.
So, saw a shirt design that was designed by Corey Smits, and Corey Smits works with Adam Robazzelli. From Attract Mode, and we've been wanting to work with Attract Mode for a long time, and we saw this relationship that they had, and we thought this was a perfect collaborative project that we can do. Corey had already done this design for a magazine or a zine called Controller, and he wanted to make it into a shirt, and so he talked with Adam. And then we talked with Adam, and we're now working out the details in getting this into the store. And there's possibly also a pin set that would go along with this that would be designed by Corey Schmitz as well.
Well, getting these shirts in the store, it's actually a pretty huge milestone. Both of them are, because the Samus shirt, or the visor shirt, is something that we saw posted on another site, and we said we have to snipe this shirt, you know, because it's a great design and we think it'd go really well in the store. And that's our first Metroid shirt. And then I think
we originally saw it on Ripped. We saw this design on Ripped, and we saw that the person who did this design works with Marty. Yeah. And we said, hey, if he's just going to kind of shoot this design in other locations, we felt that this design deserved a lot of more investment and more of our time based off how other sites kind of just put up shirt designs. So we felt this was much better. We can do much better with this design and devote more time and efforts towards the actual investment the artist has done in this design. So
I'm definitely excited about the fact that we're moving into Zelda and Metroid, but there's a third one, actually, that we've been promoting a lot, too, that you guys have also been excited about.
And that would be the E-Mug, inspired by Mega Man.
Yeah, that is one of the franchises we're going into. And a lot of people were really excited. We showed the prototype back at PAX Prime in Seattle mm-hmm. this past September, and people were really jazzed about it. You know, the Proto Men were jazzed about it, 1UP was jazzed about it, and I think it's a lot of people are eagerly awaiting it. I think we actually have our friends at the Nerdy Show have a place down in Orlando called a Geek Easy, which is a nerd themed bar, and they are excited about it as well.
So we're gonna expect like a wholesale order from them where they're getting many mugs to stock their whole bar, I hope.
I don't know, that's definitely a possibility.
That would be nice. I personally am looking forward to the mug because I suspect it can fit a whole pint of ice cream. I'll just like tip it upside down, dump it in there. It's what Mega Man would do if he was hungry.
It'll definitely fill up your energy bar, I'll say that.
Oh,
oh my god. John, you're done, man.
Get out of here.
You are actually not writing the description for this product.
Actually, I got an idea. Well, the thing is like maybe we should call the Geek Easy the energy bar.
Don't quit your design job, John. That's all I'm gonna say.
Hey, don't worry. I'm not a man of words. I'm a man of pictures.
We have one more product on my little penciled down list that I'm doodling the Fangamer logo all over, and that is another round of figurines from Camille. Can we reveal what those are?
Yes, that would be the Shark Punk.
Woo!
Yeah, they're super awesome. They've got a yo-yo now. They're in their custom packaging and a clear pink can. They've got their own little manhole cover stand to stand on top of.
Yeah,
there's a lot of improvements to this round of the figurines.
Don't tell that. There's people who bought the first 10.
Well, no, that's the thing is that the original run, they had spray paint cans, and
that's
those will
right.
never be produced again. So that is a one-off. It is history now.
Okay.
And there was also a hamburger bonus with the first one, and each of the first ones were handmade from A to Z by Camille.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, it's not that the quality is not less here, but since we're trying to sell or have them be more accessible to the number of people who want them, we had them produced through a place called Mana Studios out in California.
And they're the same people who did the Avarice figure, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, keep in mind when we have another company produce it, they're just doing the very basic molding to it. There's
mm-hmm.
still a substantial amount of sanding, filling little bubbles here and there, and
painting.
Then painting the whole thing and packaging the whole thing. So the only thing they're really saving here is the trouble of having to go and cast it with resin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a nightmare. And Liz, I think you know about this, don't you?
Yeah, I've done some resin casting myself, but it's good to know all paint fumes are being inhaled by the Young family.
Right.
That's all on you guys.
And our assorted pets, yes.
Yeah, that's a messy business making those figures with the resin and the silicone, so I can see how you'd want to keep that out of the house.
Yeah, actually, Camille, whenever we get misprinted shirts, like the Magi's Tower, sometimes the machine just chews up a shirt, and they'll throw it in anyway. It's like, well, you don't want it, but here it is. So Camille takes them and turns them into smocks that she does her art in.
Oh, that's a good use of them. Did she do that with the mysterious Dem Bones that showed up with the double wide collar?
I was so amazed when I saw this. I thought, what in the heck is this?
I still need to see that.
It's like an ogre shirt.
Oh man, well, you guys
I know what to get you for Christmas.
You guys should do like a Flickr gallery of misprints one day, or like just a whole special look into the Fangamer office of some of the most bizarre factory bugs we've seen.
Some of our ugliest productions.
Actually, well, they're not ugly, they're unique. They're one-offs.
Something funny about having mess-ups in our printing, typically whenever we get a screw-up in like the handbook or a shirt, we would just take that as our own. Like, instead of getting the really good stuff for ourselves, we usually just say, oh, cool, I can wear this, I can wear one of our own shirts, because it's a screw-up.
Yeah.
So we're all parading around with like shirts with holes in them and screwy ink and like books that got their pieces ripped out of them.
Yeah, I actually refuse to take, even though I've designed these shirts, I refuse to take any really good shirts, because I was like, I want the good shirt sales for us. I don't, you know, whatever extra bad shirts you have, give to me.
Okay.
I think the only shirt I requested that I want a new nice shirt was the BitBoy. I think that was it.
The BitBoy's, it's so cozy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Kind of like how we give all of the obscene packy slips to Kevin.
I got one too. I got one with Flea and a thong. It was out there.
Well, Liz, if you want some more of that, let me know. I can hook you up.
Well,
I know some people.
Next time I happen to stop by Tucson, Arizona, I might just take all your obscene packy slips, and I might leave you with more as like an exchange program.
Ooh.
And they'll be really obscene. You'll be really disappointed in me as an employee and as a fellow human being.
This conversation sounds like it's getting pretty hot here. Jeez.
Always. At Fangamer News, we're trying to reach a new echelon. A whole new paradigm.
It's getting all deviant art up in here.
Yeah, we've never shifted our paradigm this way before. So that's a lot of new products that are coming out. Do you guys have a date in mind for when pre-orders are going to be ready for these?
We're, fingers crossed, we're shooting to have these things ready on Black Friday, if not earlier.
Okay, and there's festivities for Black Friday, but we don't want to go into it too much since this is going to be a weekly thing, so... You guys will hopefully talk about it next week.
Next week we will cover the Black Friday stuff more, but there will be a Black Friday special. So if you're thinking about buying something, this is probably bad business, but you might want to hold off just a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, we did just do we have a pre-order currently going, so maybe that is bad business.
But you know what? Reed. If somebody's listening to the podcast and they're like, oh man, I can't believe I bought stuff from Fangamer and didn't wait. Give us an email. We'll take care of you. Don't sweat it.
Orders at fangamer.com.
It's
true. Because we're nice.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing to be wary of when Reed tells you, like, hold off because something cool is coming. Something cool is always coming, so don't hold off. Just buy and buy again.
It's like you know there's a new computer coming out. You could just wait forever, but then you'll never have a computer.
Exactly.
And we actually even have more stuff in dev. We don't know when that's going to happen. And we're not going to tell you, we don't hold your breath or wait or stuff like that. Buy stuff when...
Don't get excited.
Yeah, don't get excited. But as always, we're always working on additional stuff. And hopefully next time we can talk about that.
All right.
One more thing to add.
Okay.
Because this is going to be topical. As soon as the podcast comes out, this may still be going on. We are donating some merchandise to the Desert Bus for Hope. Charity.
That's right. I saw you guys talking about that a little bit. Desert Bus for Hope. Can you describe that a little bit for the uninitiated out there?
Okay, so the short story is Penn and Teller were involved with the creation of this video game back in, I think it was a Sega game back in the 90s. And it was obvious. They were trying to make the worst video game in existence. And it did a pretty good job.
All you do is drive a bus from Tucson to Phoenix and then back.
No, Tucson to Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas. Oh,
Tucson
okay.
to Phoenix. That's an hour-long game, and you can go like 75. It's not so bad.
Okay, let's do a cut for that. All the game's about is you drive from Tucson to Las Vegas, and you have to just steer the wheel every now and then, or otherwise you go off the road, and there's like a little bug splatter on the window every so often, and that's the entire game.
That is compelling.
Yeah, it's intentional. Like when you drive from Tucson to Las Vegas, it takes 8 hours. You can't just like tape down a button on the controller because the alignment on the bus is off. So if you make it all the way there, you get 1 point. And then you have the option of earning a second point by driving back.
Do you stop for gas? You'd have to stop for gas.
No, I don't think so. I think the bus has an imaginary gigantic gas tank.
Okay. Is there, like, can you pause?
No.
There's no pausing. Is there an end?
No.
All right. I can see why you guys would want to associate yourselves with this game, but how does... In case other people don't get why this is clearly a game we want to throw our weight behind, what's the connection to the charity?
So the guys playing this charity, it's similar to what the speed gamers do, where it's going to be kind of a marathon, and the more money they raise, the longer they play. So it's essentially like a torture fest for charity.
Wow. That's good. I might want to edit out the part where you insinuate you're pro-torture by giving the money to charity. But all right.
It is slightly worse when the ghost pepper, or when the speed gamers were having everyone eat ghost peppers.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Oh, I enjoyed that, man. That's the kind of stuff I live for. Yeah, that was a rough 24 hours, I'm sure.
But yeah, they're going to be playing and just raising money for Child to Play the whole time, and they'll be giving away some Fangamer merch in a live auction during the event, so you should check it out.
That's awesome. We'll be sure to put some info in the show notes so people can get on the desert bus.
Nice.
Alright, well, unless you guys have any last-minute surprises you want to spring on people, I think we've got everything covered for our trial run of the new and improved Fangamer news.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, let's sign off, say goodbye to everybody, and let's rejoin the rest of the podcast with Garrett and Ben for our show topic.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
John, all you had was a yeah? Come on.
Go, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
John, come on, bring it.
Ow! Ow!
All right, so I guess we're moving into what kind of bull are we thankful for?
What the hell are you thankful for? Anyway, no Jay-Z fans?
What's your thankful for?
All right. It's the Thanksgiving spirit in all of us now, because by the time people are listening to this, it's Thanksgiving week. I'll be on vacation. I'll be thinking about turkey all week.
My grandma is actually currently here for Thanksgiving.
Wow, so like, she is really tailgating.
Yeah,
like she's tailgating. She's pre-gaming.
Yeah, serious pre-gaming there. The idea is, what are different aspects of gaming that you are thankful for over the years of being a gamer? I can actually picture when I said to my parents around the Thanksgiving table, Garrett, what are you thankful for this year? After my mom was like, I'm thankful for our family and my great sons and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm thankful for my Game Boy. I love Pokemon. Or Zelda, or whatever I would have had at the age that I was dumb enough to say that, and then the cringe in their face, and then the disappointment that that's what I would have said instead of my family. So anyone out there listening, make sure you don't say anything you're going to talk about here today for what you're thankful
for. Oh,
come
on, that's a trick question when you ask a kid that, because you know they're young enough to ask to answer honestly.
No, when the parents go first, you're supposed to pick up on that.
Yeah, like, or if you have my parents, like, they'll pull you aside and be like, okay, here's what you're going to say.
They're going to prep you for it.
You're thankful for Jesus. Don't ever forget it.
So, to start things off, I am thankful for the ability to watch Netflix on my gaming consoles because...
Oh yeah, you said that last
week. I love the crap out of that. I love Netflix, and the fact that I can watch it on my TV without having to do any sort of crazy setup. I just launch the app, search through it. It's great. Woohoo!
How actually is that streaming? Like, do you have to wait a long time for it to load?
No.
I mean, I obviously would because
you never tried it.
But no.
Liz, do you have any?
Well, I don't have a good next gen console.
Liz, do you have Netflix on any of your gaming systems?
You know, I don't have Netflix anywhere, actually.
You don't actually... Do you have it, period?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't really watch movies that frequently.
TV shows.
You don't need movies when you have Dragon Ball Kai.
Yeah, I guess
yeah
that's
exactly.
True.
We watch Dragon Ball Kai, man.
So that was my example. What are you guys thankful for in gaming? Liz, I think you had a good one.
I am thankful for the technological advancement of save points over the last 25
years. They have come a ways,
haven't
they?
Yeah. They have. When you think about, like, playing Mario 1 and when you died, that was it. You were all the way back, and it was like the last 10 hours of your life did not happen.
Yep. It's a rough feeling.
If you got that far. But they got a little better with, like, Mario 3, where I think... How did it work? Like, you could go back to the beginning of that world if
there
you
There was
would...
no saving in Mario 3.
There wasn't saving, but there were checkpointing, I think. Or maybe I'm just thinking of All-Stars.
Yeah.
I thought if you died, you got kicked back to the beginning of a world. If you shut the console off, you'd lose everything.
You got it. But if you ran out of lives, I'm pretty sure that was game over. Like, if you didn't have any more lives left, there was no more playing.
Super Mario World was, like, I think the big advancement where you could
save after every level, right?
I thought you could just save after ghost houses and castles. Or could you save all on the map?
Everyone who's listening right now.
I thought you could hit select
now,
and, like...
I know, people are cringing.
And it goes like, boo! Because I remember
something. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was thinking back to, like, I think Max Payne was probably one of the first PC games I ever played where I was like, oh my gosh, I can save wherever I want?
Yeah.
What?
I still get amazed when I can do that. Like, in Pokemon, I love that I can save anywhere, but... Like, you, even today with Zelda games, like, you play Twilight Princess, and you save, and
what
it inexplicably
about?
Throws you back
what
to the beginning of the
about?
Dungeon. I don't get
Somebody,
that.
I'm going to have to ask Nat this and tell him. I really want to know. Why is it in Zelda games you always go to the start of the dungeon again? Why?
That's a pain in the ass.
Do you lose all your items?
No,
if you pick up the bow in the forest temple, I'm sure you'd keep the bow. It's like, and you keep your keys and everything.
Well...
It just...
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know. Isn't there some things you don't keep? Like, if you had done certain things in certain rooms, you have to do those over again. I think so.
Yeah. Certain things get reset and certain things don't. It's very particular and strange. And, of course, all this goes out the window if we're talking about Majora's Mask, where you don't get anything.
Right.
Okay.
But that's just kind of how that game works.
All right, let me just...
It makes sense when it's explained.
You being thankful for that just reminds me of, like, this horrible experience I've faced... like, through this past week. So, I've been playing... Well, I guess I could, like, start this off by saying I'm thankful for good game design and games not being stupid anymore. Because I was playing Deja Vu again.
Man.
Oh,
That game... I mean, I've complained about the UI enough and whatever. But that game, apparently, if you die too many times, it will erase your file. And there's no indication telling you how many, like, continues you have or anything like that. So I was pretty far into the game until, like, I decided to screw around with the mugger too much by punching him in the face. And eventually he wasn't having it anymore, and he shot me, like, a few times.
And it erased your file?
It erased my file after a while. But, I mean, I guess it
That's
was my
awful.
Own dumb fault. But they gave you no indication that that was going to happen. And so for some reason I decided to play through it again because I really wanted to beat it. And I got very close to the end of the game, and in order to actually get to places in this game, you need 3 coins in order to use the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, okay, I have 3 coins left, and I need to go back to this one place. That's okay, I'll just find another coin somewhere so I can, like, go gamble and get more coins.
Oh, no way.
You only get the coins
at one other
spot.
Start
if
you
with.
Don't have enough coins to get back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I ran out of coins and I could not proceed anymore. I
game
was
over.
Near the end of the game and that was it. I was like, okay, I'm not playing this game.
That's
again.
Why you always go to the gambling area and get a crap ton of coins before you leave.
Yeah. But what if the mugger steals your stuff?
Well, if it's the mugger that wears the brown shirt, you can punch him up to 3 times before he's going to kill you. And if it's the other guy
I
who has the gun...
I also find it hilarious that when you punch
you
him, it says Socko, and it's really funny. Anyway.
Yeah. You ever beat that game?
No, I was about
Neither
to.
Neither have I. Ever. That's tough. I'll have to go back. Okay, but I digress.
Well, I mean, I was thankful for
no,
that not being
be
relevant in
for.
Gaming anymore.
Like, how often do you... see games that are made nowadays where you can ask somebody, like, you ever beat that? And it's like, no, I was never capable of it. I can't think of any games that have been made in the last 10 years where you can honestly say, I was not capable of beating it.
Well, it was because I was... Well, I hope it's because I was a kid and I was dumb.
No, it's really not. It's because all those NES games and early console games were both really poorly made and I think just genuinely harder. Like, you go back and play some of the original Mega Mans, they're hard.
Yeah, but they people love those. You ever watch Steve play Mega Man? Holy crap.
Is he real? Is he gifted?
He is quite good at the Mega Mans. Him and Steph, I hear, are pretty good at the Mega Mans.
Steph is quite good at video games. I've seen her speedrun Donkey Kong Country 2. It's impressive. She can do like an hour and a half, I think.
So I thought of another thing I'm thankful for in gaming, and that's strategy guides. I love strategy guides.
I was going to bring that up, actually, as something I'm like, I used to be thankful for, but I kind of miss. I like strategy guides.
I miss
old
ones.
Yeah, when they first went online for game FAQs, I was like, this is great. They're online. They're so nice. But then you realize, you miss the pictures and the history.
Yeah, you're filling it in your hand and the funny little things that would be in there. And yeah, I've actually started to try and collect the older strategy guides. I'd really love to get a lot of the older ones. And that's a pretty big thing, I guess, in the game collector world is trying to find old strategy guides because they're a lot harder to find because not everyone kept them and they don't usually hold up as well as a cart. So anyway, what were we going to say, Ben?
I bought this really expensive Super Mario Galaxy 2 strategy guide.
Oh, the hardbound one?
I remember that one.
And it's really pretty, but I haven't used it at all.
I got Jen like the hardback one for the first one, and I think she used it like twice, maybe.
Yeah, actually, I think the reason I bought it was because like I was feeling really nerdy at the time. It was after like PAX East or something like that, and I was like, "Yeah, man, I need to look at this and like see how it compares to like the Mother 3 handbook and be like, oh yeah, you guys. So
you're gonna write an essay on it.
Yeah, I never did that. I'm never gonna do that.
I am thankful for changing the topic to something I'm interested in because you two are boring me. I am thankful for very talented fan artists who are able to make really cool drawings that are their own interpretations of characters and are able to make plushies of video game characters. I am very thankful for talented members of the fan community who are able to make new things out of old games.
What up, IS5?
Yes, I was thinking of IS5 and I was thinking of the picture of the cool Pokemon drawing I posted in the thread for this week where
you can make that chapter art.
Yeah, I'm constantly blown away by how people... There's certain types of people who can do fan art. Like, I can do fan art where I can draw something out of a player's guide. That's not hard. But I can't look at a character and be like, how would it look in my mind, in my crazy, mixed-up brain, if I were to interpret this character? And the people who can do that and bring characters to a whole different level, they're crazy. And I love that. And that's what gets me excited about playing video games. So I'm thankful for those people, because I think they add a new dimension to a hobby that otherwise would not be nearly as exciting.
I was saying, I'm thankful for the different fan sites that bring those people together so I can find them easily, which is a shameful way of me trying to say, I'm thankful for Starman.net.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But no, like, being able I mean, we're kind of spoiled when you think about it, that we are able to see the best Earthbound fan art all in one spot. You don't have to go looking around for it. Like, you go to the FanFest page right now, and there's a bunch of awesome stuff up there.
When you say all in one spot, we're talking about DeviantArt, right?
No, I was thinking literally Starman.net.
I suppose I'm thankful for Starman.net. I mean, I guess it's done right by me.
Yeah, I was waiting for the, I'm thankful for Earthbound because it made Starman.net, and I met my boyfriend that way.
Well, let's see. Did anyone in the thread say that one? I know we got Winky Toast down here that says, I'm thankful for portable games. And a lot of people brought up portable games as being something. Yeah. Or someone else. Who was the one that said they were thankful for the portable gaming rechargeable batteries? I thought that was a really good one because became rechargeable, portable gaming was expensive.
That was Windows 98. What up, dog?
And it was very, like, stressful. Like, if you were playing
and
saw your battery was dying, it was like, oh my God!
Yeah, and, like, it was so bad, because, like, especially if you weren't expecting it and you realize you have, like, 4 more hours left
like on vacation
trip,
or something,
I did have that happen to me the other day, though. I beat Pokemon Black, and just as the prompt was coming up to save it, it died.
Ooh, you really... Wow, you were laying it really close to the line because you have the little light that says...
I know. The light was going on for like an hour and it went off on the train to school in the morning and I was like, if I just clamshell it and play it on the train on the way home, but I flew too close to the sun I should have kept it clamshelled all day and then just plugged it.
So did you do it again?
Yeah, I beat it again. It's a game for babies, Ben. You should have beaten it by now.
I got my DS over there. I'll play it right now.
Do it.
Okay. No, but I wanted to bring up something. Oh,
I was going to say the best name here in the forum topic goes to Pickle Inspector, who's thankful for the dependability of system memory cards to not fail on them. And I would say, wow. Yeah. Like nowadays, it's pretty good. Back in the day, we talked about
My PlayStation memory cards were garbage.
Especially if you got like those Pelican or Mad Cats memory cards.
I can't even begin to tell you the number of Mad Cats products I've been burned on.
I think you did actually on another podcast.
I think I have. But
yeah, I was gonna bring up that I really liked Rune Devros's thankfulness of English translations. Well, obviously not only for like Mother 3, which is topical and relevant, but there are plenty of other games that we would have never been able to play if not for like fan translations and
that,
stuff like that.
The one
like,
that Clyde did,
Cave Story,
the Tamekov one.
Detective Club.
Oh,
I was gonna say that,
that
but
is
I couldn't
so
remember the
good.
Name.
Like I had no idea what it was about. I just knew he did that, and everyone was super excited about it. I put the patch on and played that game for a couple nights, and it was so so much fun and still creeps me out. I should have talked about that on the Spooky Games cast because that ending of that always freaks me out.
Yeah, I only played it for a little while. I should really get back into it. It was cool.
Dude, the ending is creepy, and the music and that guy's face.
It's sort of like a deja vu, isn't it?
Yeah, but much, much better.
This reminds me of another game thing I'm thankful of that I'm going to guess you two are probably thankful for as well, given playing Shadow of the Colossus. I am very thankful for YouTube players' guides, where people are able to videotape a play point. I'm thankful for that in Pokemon, where I have to sign up for Japanese websites and there's walkthroughs of it. I'm thankful for Shadow of the Colossus, so I can watch it and be like, F that, I'm not playing this game, this sucks. And I'm thankful for something like Mario Galaxy 2, where you can't find one last green star, and a game FAQ is really vague about it, and you just look at the YouTube, and it's some guy driving their bird right up to it. I'm a huge fan of YouTube, and I'm very thankful for Lazy Sunday for making YouTube a possibility. So thanks, Andy Samberg.
I was going to say, Crystal brings up a good one, Kalim Hazard. Being thankful for like homebrew apps and patches and hacks for games.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's really, she's right, because it really extends the life of some games like in really cool ways if they're done really well. She brings up the Chrono Compendium.
Compendium?
Yeah, have you guys played that one?
Chrono Compendium, that didn't come out, actually.
About Crimson Echoes.
Chrono Compendium is the yin to Chrono, to Starman's yang of Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
But
you're right. Yeah,
they worked very hard on the fan game Crimson Echoes, and like all good Square projects, just before it was going to be released, Square just came and spit right in their eyes.
Yeah.
So that never, I think very few people got a chance to play that. There might be a couple versions running around that are earlier, but
It's really a shame. I like how she failed to bring up Starman Nanette's own tools to make. Yeah, PK
Hack.
I don't
know. How many awesome PK hacks are there?
Yeah, everybody messed around with that when they were like 13.
There was actually a Fobbies Are Born check. I remember that. Good times.
Let's see. PyroGuy42 has another good one of being thankful for game developers who actually are still trying to come up with fresh plot lines and new ideas in a place where everyone's trying to just make money with a sequel to another game. Which, if you guys pick up Game Dev Story, you too will succumb to the "I'm just gonna make a sequel." That one sold really well.
I agree. I'm very thankful for creative developers like Hideo Kojima constantly writing the best game ever.
I was thinking more of things like Cave Story. Like the smaller kind of unique games, a lot of the stuff happening in the indie game space.
I was thinking of Kojima.
Oh,
so smart.
Let's see. You guys got any other thankful fors?
I'm thankful for, as controllers have advanced, they've gotten hopefully more comfortable.
Like, yeah.
Some of them have stepped
backwards. What's your favorite of the current gen consoles controllers? Like, what's yours been?
My favorite controller? It's
current gen.
I think the WaveBird counts for that because everybody uses it for their Wii.
So yeah, either the Wavebird then, or the GameCube controller, or I don't know. I feel like the six axis is close enough to the PS2 controller, and that's a really good controller. So
yeah, it's not bad.
Yes, yeah. Wow, not the Xbox one, huh?
No, the D-pad is garbage.
Yeah, that's true. It is not
not
the best
good
D-pad.
For fighting games.
Does, when you plug your controller for the Xbox 360 into a red ringed 360, does the little controller display the three red lights
I don't
too?
Think so.
I don't think that would so. Be so awesome.
That would be awesome.
If it red ringed your controller too, and you just send that back. No, I honestly think gaming controller perfection was achieved with the GameCube. Maybe it's because I have smaller hands. In fact, I'm
wow,
quite sure it is.
Really like
the GameCube is the most comfortable controller in the world, even if the D-pad sucks.
The only problem I think it had was the Z button. I think that was a colossal misstep.
I don't
but
think
other
so.
Than
I mean,
that,
it's okay.
It was annoying. Like, for Wind Waker, I remember it was you could equip your items to X, Y, and Z. And Z was just like, it might as well not even be equipable. Like, it was
yeah,
nowhere...
like it's like under like a glass case with a key or something and that you have to lift
compared
up.
Compared to X and Y and how smooth they were, yeah. It kind of was. I mean, that's where you put your baton. It was like, if I'm going to call the wind, it's already a pain in my ass, so why not put icing on that cupcake?
Yeah.
I have one last cupcake left.
Oh, man.
But
share it with
fun. It's funfetti.
Oh, man.
Funfetti icing.
What's funfetti? Is that the...
What?
The confetti?
Garrett,
you're so...
I'm thankful for funfetti.
I'm thankful for funfetti too. The way funfetti works is you have white cake mix and there's sprinkles in it, but as it bakes, the sprinkles dissolve and just leave pockets of color in the cake.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like a clown came and sprayed polka dots all through your cake.
Oh, yeah. I love those things.
Exactly. You are also thankful
for
funfetti.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I think my birthday cake for several years that Jen would make me was this. I was thinking more of the rainbow chip frosting.
Yeah, you
that.
Gotta throw that on
oh,
too.
So
if you're gonna
good.
Be real, if you're gonna be real Boys Town with this, you gotta put the rainbow frosting on top.
And that corresponds to gaming because I would usually get video games on my birthday and eat cake. I'd palm slam some birthday cake and then play some video games.
Okay, not to digress, but what does open palm slam mean? I mean, is it as self-explanatory as it sounds?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I imagine it's like if you're lifting the cartridge, or I guess it was VHS in that original quote, up into the air, you kind of are cradling it in the palm and then just push it forward with all the weight of your palm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it just slams into the VCR, like with enough force to break it, except that it's a VCR and it's built Tonka tough.
Yeah, I used to put Tonka Legos tough. In my VCR and it still worked. Well, after we extracted most of the Legos, but even then, like, you could look into our VCR and see, yeah, there were several Legos still in there, just hanging out. Lego guys, even.
I'm going to digress way off topic. You can edit this out if you want, but Garrett, did you ever see there was an episode of 6 Feet Under where David and Keith buy their two adopted kids a PlayStation 2, and they're like, oh, PlayStation 2, thank you, Dad, we're so excited, and then the two guys leave for work. And come back, and they've totally disassembled it with screwdrivers.
It doesn't
like,
work.
Something was broken. We had to fix it by taking like
and
every
the other
single
kid's
wire
like,
out of
it. It wasn't broken. You didn't have to fix it. And it's like, oh, what a dick of a brother.
Yeah,
I should have given him back.
I'm thankful that all of my consoles have. I don't think I've ever lost one.
Wow.
That I remember.
Really?
My NES is spotty, but other than that,
you've
they
lost
all
lost at
work.
Least one Xbox, a PlayStation.
My SP went through the washing machine. Works like a charm.
My SP, well, I might have dropped it a couple times, but like if you set it down a little bit too hard, the battery like just comes unhinged a little bit or something, and it'll just reset.
Yeah, you can
your game.
Tighten that up, right?
Oh, right. Oh, I don't know if that's really what it is. I assume that's what it is, but I haven't really messed with
it. No, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
But don't you need, like, crazy Nintendo screwdrivers that are, like, in the shape of an N or something?
Yes.
I want to add an addendum. I hope so. Addendum to what I said. I've never lost a console, but I've also never owned a Microsoft console. So that's the end of that sentence.
That is.
Not to be a bitch, but I know how those things go. I mean, I've talked to people who are on, like, their fourth Xbox 360, and they're like, it's such a good system. What do I care? They keep replacing it.
And I gotta play my Halos.
If you just look at it as something like an iron from Kmart that you just need to replace every year, then all right. More power to you.
It's an appliance.
It is. It's an appliance. It's a
paperweight. Sounds like a landfill item.
Paperweights don't break.
I hope they repair them and not just dump them in a sweet, sweet landfill.
Oh, I'm sure they're somewhere in Ghana right now, like rotting in the sun.
Kids are wearing them like backpacks for clothing.
Yeah, they're wearing those and old Xbox Super Bowl shirts.
Super Bowl loser t-shirts. And NBA Finals losers.
I know. It makes me really sad, but it's amazing to me that there's like entire nations of people wearing shirts printed with the Super Bowl losers. Like, somewhere out there, there's people who think the Bears won.
It's dumb that the culture we have requires the winner apparel to be available immediately. That's just so dumb.
America. I know, but I'm thankful for the option to immediately be able to run out and go buy. When the Ravens win the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to be able to buy that shirt.
Super thankful then, huh?
Oh, I'm going to be so thankful. Bodymore, man.
Oh, wait. So we had one more thing that we have to say that we're all thankful for, and that's all the people. You learned the lesson, though, Ben. Very good.
You do.
All the people who said they were thankful for the podcast. That was very nice of you.
I know. You guys are sweet. We did not want that.
No, that was not the goal of this thread. It was supposed to. I just thought it would be a cool topic, and most people were like, oh, we really like your... Well, everybody but Butsukoi, who backhanded complimented
great
us.
Great A nag.
But what else should we expect? Butsukoi's
that's
the best.
True. That's fine. Butsukoi, you can come drink it with us whenever you're... I think Butsukoi's Canadian, right?
Oi.
I'm assuming so. He's going to call us out and say, how dare you? I'm not listening to your podcast anymore.
I'm from Ghana, and I'm wearing those Super Bowl t-shirts.
And an Xbox on my back. And now you only have 42 listeners.
Canada probably gets those Super Bowl loser t-shirts. What do they know? They think our football is stupid anyway, according to Kevin.
Football America.
We'll let him do his final word on that.
Yeah, Kevin.
Before that, I have to say one thing. Not. I believe all of us are thankful for, above all else, and it's not Jesus.
Busta Rhymes?
Busta Rhymes.
Special
Fresh? No, this is second to Busta Rhymes.
It's Junior Spesh.
Junior Spesh? Special Fresh? Junior Spesh?
Okay, I guess this is third.
Kanye's Runaway?
Okay, I guess this is fourth.
Trapped in the Closet, all 24 episodes?
Or 25th.
Soulja Boy?
Okay, the thing we are 1,232nd most thankful for is iTunes reviews.
Yes, that's true.
It would let me go look at the stupid store. It's like, this guy's looking at his review page too much.
Yeah, I think that's a message from God, Garrett, that you're taking too much for granted.
Oh, no, apparently I need to upgrade my version of iTunes. Oh, that's why.
Oh, yeah, it's a 10-point
maybe that's why. I'll do that.
To prepare for the iPad OS update that's never coming.
There you go.
All right, well.
I just want to multitask.
All right, well, Kevin, talk about Thanksgiving, which was like a month ago for you.
Oh, yeah. I was so jealous of Canada that has their Thanksgiving earlier than ours.
Why?
Why would you want Thanksgiving that
actually,
early?
Actually, I want two. I want theirs and ours.
Thanksgiving's the
Why
worst.
Why not just celebrate Canadian
I just want it to go Halloween and then 2 months of Christmas.
Thankfulness? Let me tell you something. I was thankful a month ago at the real Thanksgiving. Canadian Thanksgiving. Come on, America. You're not fooling anybody with this November turkey day. When it hits in October, it gives you a good 2 months to get a craving for seconds. And on Thursday? Really? Come on. I like my artificial 4-day weekends as much as the next guy, but at least give it the cover of statutory business. There's a reason we invented Easter Monday. Alright, what am I thankful for? I'm thankful that game designers haven't run whole hog with the idea that gaming is necessarily violent. I'm thankful that recent advancements in technology have spread out the target market for video games. I'm thankful that we're becoming what's part of the essential media that society as a whole understands, the same as books, movies, TV, and the internet. I'm thankful that not everyone in the boom generation thinks that things that are new are necessarily bad. I'm thankful that my parents let me play video games as a kid, and I'm also thankful that they forced me to play them in the living room, where everyone could watch. I'm thankful that interactive electronic media wasn't just a flash in the pan, that the video game crash of 1983 was just a temporary setback, and that titles of yesteryear live on in the form of compilation re-releases and, yes, illicit emulated ROMs. I'm thankful that gaming brought me together with a community of like-minded people who neither sneered nor turned up their noses at my choice of entertainment, but who saw it for what it was, imaginative, eye-opening worlds beyond our own, where we could be heroes and champions. And more than anything, I'm thankful that in the right circumstances, with the right combination of button presses, I can make Kano rip the heart out of his opponent's chest. My name is Kevin, and I am a fan gamer.
Thanks, Kevin.
That sounded really negative, Liz.
Well, don't leave that in, Ben, when you edit this.
No, I'm gonna.
It Jesus. Probably won't even get used. Cause
not like the time you left it in when I said it.
I was going to leave one in this week. Just continue to...
Continue the saga.
Be aggressively passive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks, Kevin, for another great final word. It looks like that's about it for this episode number 47 of the Fangamer Podcast. As always, we are thankful for you, the fans. You've been super.
All 44
And reviews we are thankful for. But there are other non-review ways to get in contact with us. They aren't quite as good, but they are also acceptable. Some of them are Twitter and Facebook, which can be found by searching for Fangamer on their respective pages. We have Ustream for... our office cam, which is Fridays at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, and if you would like to watch reruns of Office Cam, you can go on Vimeo to do it. We also have a Flickr page and a YouTube account, both very exciting things. If you search for Fangamer, we'll show up in some capacity, although that may not always be our name. And of course, we are on iTunes, and we love when you review us. Because we are attention whores.
It's really the third time we've talked about that this episode.
It's more that I think it's how it makes our podcast more prevalent in its findability in the store.
Oh, I don't care about that. I honestly just love seeing my name.
No, that's why we do it in the first place. So that hopefully one day that people will go in and look at potential video game podcasts and they see ours on that list.
Yeah.
It's because we got a sweet logo. That's what's going to bring him in. It's not our reviews.
It's John's graphic design. We can get into that on another show. Because next week is Black Friday Memories and Games. Meaning, let's talk about those crazy times when you would wait in line at like 5:30 to Sears so that you could pick up a DS for like 20% off so that you can get it for your significant other. Or what awesome game sales that you could get stuff for on Black Friday, or other crazy memories from the upcoming capitalism holiday of of America. That's next week's topic. So signing off for Fangamer Podcast, this is Garrett, and those two are Liz and Ben. Say goodnight, everyone.
Watch me hit my bird walk.
Goodnight, Dialga. That's his bird walk.
I watched him hit it.
He's adorable.
What would you, so just theoretically here, if you had to choose between something that would help you do the podcast or something that was cool and cute, which would you choose?
Well, I've actually been holding Dialga up to the microphone right now, and every so often I turn to him and mouth, "What do you think?" And then he's like, "Ah." So I would pick the cool, cute.
Okay, Dialga's I will keep that in mind for future such occasions. That is.
So pause here. I'm John, and I'm Reed.
I'm Steve.
Hello, internet.
Text.
I'm Ryan. My buddy Triplet was like, "Hey, man, you guys should be on the podcast." But it turns out
the sheriff was in the woods, and he had his flashlight out, and we were like, "Oh, it's the sheriff!" And we kept running and running, and we couldn't find my friend Trip, and it took like 3 hours, and then we finally found him, and he was behind us, and it turns out Trip was chasing us.
And now you know the rest of the story.
You don't even know the rest of that story, Garrett.
Oh man, Rune Devros is talking about my game, my visual novel.
What is that game called?
Umineko no Nako Koroni, also known as Umineko.
Man, that's... I'm embarrassed.
Oh my god.
That.
It's so good.
I've listened to sermons that made more sense than what just came out of your mouth. What does that mean, like traveling mystery girl briefcase time?
It means when the seagulls cry.
The seagulls cry. Ah! There's no bread on the beach. I love bread. I guess I'll poop on someone.
Is this from something or is this Liz Originals right here?
This is the experience of going to the Ocean City Beach as a kid, where seagulls are just like, do you have any bread? Do you have any bread? Okay, I'm gonna wait till you lay down and poop on your back. Having a seagull poop on you is the worst, but it happens to everyone.
I've never been pooped on by a seagull. I've only been pooped on by a bird once, and it was on the arm of my coat. I remember this, because like I was like at the bus stop, and I was like doing my homework, like crouched down, and suddenly there was just a spot on my arm. I was like, what's this? And I had I had to ride on the bus with poop on my arm. It was really nasty.
Your memory of that is like how people in their 50s remember the Kennedy assassination. You remember where you were, what you were doing, like how the moment impacted you. There's poop on my arm.
It's gross, man.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening to the Fangamer Podcast. But before we close up here, I want to give a quick shout-out to Starship Amazing at starshipamazing.com, for whom I used music on for today's podcast, including the song you're hearing right now, actually, off of their new collection, Broken Robots, which is available for only $5! They've also got free stuff available, too, so you should definitely check it out. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. See you next week.